testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Something very familiar that is often used, but sometimes we don't teach on it maybe as we should. But I have a title today for this teaching, and it's simply, Am I Letting Go? Am I Letting Go? I think one of the things that we forget is that when Adam and Eve fell through disobedience, they became aware of a knowledge that God didn't want them to have. And that is that they could not only with their will, their free will, but they could potentially live a life without God and a relationship. And as we know, God nipped that one very quickly in the bud by covering them of their sin, their rebellion. But unfortunately, their minds had become open to a knowledge that God didn't want them to have. Their minds became open to temptation, that is, hearing another voice, the voice of the serpent, the very devil himself. And so, since that act of Adam and Eve, what they did, God has been working tirelessly, providing, enabling, empowering, to be able to overcome, to be able to believe for restoration being brought back in relationship with Almighty God. But man's mind had become open, and he is presented with a free will. And all of these things that we are aware of and read about in the scriptures and know about, we battle daily. But, you know, if we're walking by faith and not by sight, we should be in our maturing, be experiencing less of a problem in these areas. We should be seeing signs of improvement, development, change. We should be experiencing a devotion, a desire, a want to please the Lord and obey God. We know at times that we do slip, and we have all experienced that forgiveness and being brought back in fellowship with the Lord. We are all also experiencing where we don't want to go down that route, down that road anymore. It was hard. It was a long battle. It was a time of coldness, a time of not experiencing God's love and presence as I should. So all of these things, these experiences, we should be learning. That is why I say so often, your walk, my walk, is not a natural walk. It is a supernatural walk with Almighty God. But if there's anything that the deeper life teaching is to teach us, and that is, it's this letting go. Because God isn't going to let us go under. And we have all experienced that. But there are still areas in our development that we still have need of letting go. And the signs of it are there. They're very clear in our lives. Sometimes the Lord opens our eyes as brothers and sisters to see it in our brother or sister in order to intercede, to pray. That is why it is so important, so powerful, that we pray one for another and that we get together for prayer. All of this is vital. In many ways, it's prayers, intercessions, so that we can be in that place of faith. How often have we found ourselves praying one for another that my brother, my sister, their faith will fail not. And our faith will not fail us if we're prepared with our faith to let go to those areas that we still hold on to, whether it be in fear, unbelief, or whatever hindrance is there. We also find that we can't be in denial with these things. We can't turn our back on it or push it under the carpet. You see, the Lord won't allow this now because time is short. The Lord is coming soon. He's preparing. The wise virgins are going forward. We are being prepared because we know that the Lord can come like a thief in the night. And so we are very aware that we are not to be caught unaware, but to be ready, watchful, moving with the Lord. So am I letting go? That is the question that we're going to look at today. You see, the Holy Spirit is delivering us, isn't he? And one of the things that I've been very aware of through my call and through many that are going forward with the Lord, baptized in the Spirit, moving on with God, getting delivered from religion and denominationalism and all the isms that there is around and the confusion and the unbelief. What has all of that been telling us over the years? Well, the Spirit, through the outpouring of the Spirit, one of the things that it spoke to us was to let my people go. And God's people are being released from Satan's bondage. The Spirit of God is reviving, empowering, so that there is a remnant who will move out, who will not bow down to the spirit of this age, to the God of this world, but will serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so the message of the deeper life is in many ways a deliverance in nature to let God's people go. You see, God is delivering us from deception, from lies, from paganism, all those things that the world bows down to and adheres to. And we know that very soon the Lord is to come and to rule and reign upon the earth. The scriptures tell us it is all there, very clear, very plain. But until then, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so the question is, by this walking by faith, am I willing to let go of all those things that hinder, that cause me to compromise, that confuse me? Are we prepared to allow the Spirit of God to take over in our lives? You see, the wonderful thing about the new birth is that Jesus comes to reside and live within each of us, so that we decrease, that he increases. He knows that we are insufficient to meet the standards of what God requires. And there's only one who met those standards, and his name is Jesus. And that is why we look to Calvary, we look to the death of Christ, who rose up in power, in might, raised by the Spirit of God, who overcame all the weaknesses of the human flesh, of man's sin and unbelief and confusion. He's risen with a new life, a new body, a new humanity. And that is why we're to be found in Christ, the second Adam, and not the first. And we're raised up with him by faith. What is faith? It is simply choosing to believe. And when we choose to believe, then his whole new nature, the risen Christ, is created within us. A new mind, a new heart, a new spirit, a new outlook, a new thinking, a new belief. It is radical. The greatest thing that ever happens to a Christian is the most radical thing that can happen in your life. You're not your own anymore. You are changed, turned around. And God opens our eyes to the evil of this world. But not only that, he empowers us to be able to war, to be able to stand against the powers of darkness. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So, God is wanting us to let go. To let go of our thinking, what we think is right, what we think we know. We know nothing unless it's revealed. We know that it is revelation. Even Jesus has to reveal himself to us, because we're blind otherwise by the God of this world. And so we're seeing, by the mercy and the grace of God. And as we see, and the more we see, and the more we understand, and the more we embrace through the Word of God, the more we understand the life that is within us, the life of Christ. Well, with that brief introduction, what does it say in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6? You know this very well. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, if that doesn't speak about letting go, turning away, then I don't know what does. You trust in the Lord with your heart. That means your whole being, not just your head. Don't lean on your understandings, but let your understanding be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, illumined, in other words. So our minds today, as we come into this room, our minds need to be illumined in which to understand the revelation of God's word. And he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Your life should be an acknowledgement to him. Your ways, your going out, your coming in, what you do, what you say, where you go, is an acknowledgement of him. In other words, it's a walk with him 24/7, unbroken fellowship. And what is the promise? He shall direct your path. Direct your path into what? In everything he is teaching you, that he's wanting you to learn, to experience, to walk in, including letting go. And he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In many ways, he's reiterating verses 5 and 6. This is often what Hebrew does. It goes over and over and over again, learning a bit more. It's this idea of chewing the cud of the word. It's what I love about the Hebrew understanding of learning. It's not quite the same in Greek. It's different. But do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what is the promise? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That may answer a lot of questions of physical trials of what we go through, because we haven't let go yet. We still want to be in control. We still think we're wise in our own eyes and understanding, and that is why God has to deal with pride. Well, coupling that, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, and here it's in the context of where David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. But God said, you won't build it, your son Solomon will, because your hands are bloody. You're a man of war. You've murdered. You've spilt blood. Even though his heart was right, perfect before God, he was still a warring man. And so it was turn to Solomon, his responsibility. And what does it say in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9? What is God saying here? As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, He will cast you off forever. So here we get a great insight of how God sees in and through us. He asks him to serve him with a loyal heart. Not only a loyal heart, but a mind that is willing. In other words, we get a mind that wants to be renewed by the word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing the word. And God has created your mind, my mind, for him. Our brains were created for the glory of God. Always remember that. And so, with the mind, or with the brain, he says, be willing, be open. Because the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. In other words, your heart. Be willing, keep your mind open for the very reason, because God searches the heart, circumcises the heart. That is what he's requiring. That is what he asked of Solomon, and that is what he asks of you and I. It doesn't change. We might not always understand everything straight away, but we remain open. We remain confident, and we can be because we have the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who will lead and guide us into all truth for the very purpose, so that I can let go of what I think is right, or what I thought was right, or where I've got something that's wrong. I haven't got it right in my thinking. This is why the enemy tries to come to confuse, to sow those doubts, or to get us caught up in wrong doctrine. We know that man's battle is in the mind. But God says, if you give that over and you're willing and you allow the Holy Spirit to change, to deliver, indeed he will do it and is doing it. And so often he does it through the anointed word. And so David encourages Solomon to build this temple. And that's why we're to let go of all the lies of Satan. And do you know what the lies of Satan are? What if? What if you let go? Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to sink. It'll all collapse around you. You'll be infinitely worse. And so it goes on. See, it hasn't changed. It's that what if. So the question I raise with the Deeper Life teaching, which is to let my people go, and that's what he's doing. The cry is, let me go. Let me go from bondage. Let me go from all the things of the past. Let me go from my fears, my doubts, my questions. Let me go from this world that's rapidly falling into judgment. There should be that desire within us. We should be hearing what the Spirit is saying as he addresses the powers of darkness. Let them go in the name of Jesus. That should be our experience. That is what God did with the children of Israel. We know the story, how God used Moses and went before Pharaoh, who was a type of the God of this world. That's what he was. That's what people knew. But Satan was in him. But he was God with a small g. And Moses goes before him and said, let my people go. And That is the same address today. With the overcomers in your life, my life, and circumstances, or whatever we're facing. We should be experiencing these exodus in our life. And that is why when God called the children of Israel, and in their walk and their going forward, Satan was in front trying to attack. But when he wrought that deliverance and they went through the parted waters, we then notice Satan was in the rear, Pharaoh. And that's how often it is with us, isn't it? You see, Jesus was in front of us in salvation, our belief. He's in front of us when we look to Calvary, to the cross, to the death of Christ. But when we let go and we take those steps of faith, the enemy is behind us. And you need to understand that. Because you still think he's in front trying to block you. He isn't. He's behind you. And he's trying to catch up with you. But God is always one step ahead. And this is what God wants to teach you. And you're still at times believing he's still there in front. He isn't. Jesus defeated him at Calvary. And that is why you keep your eyes on Calvary. Because that is what it will do. It will place Satan where he is in your life. And that is not in front, behind. But you see, fear will hinder that. And this is why God is setting us free. And how is he setting us free? By letting go. And this letting go is, let my people go. For we are to worship God in the wilderness. He's prepared a banquet table for us in the wilderness. That is where he's to be found if you truly want to be an overcomer. Because that's where he sustains, he keeps us, he feeds us, he clothes us, he looks after us. Because you can't live in the wilderness in the natural. It's not a habitable place at all. I know, I've been there. I've been in the Sahara Desert. I know what it's like. It's a place you would never, ever wish to get lost in. You could go mad. So, let's look at these areas then where we believe the Holy Spirit is working in us to let go. Now, I believe that you can only let go if you are experiencing that death daily, the cross, which we too are to take up and to follow daily. Let's remind ourselves again, so often that we need to hear it, which he says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this deals immediately with the area of self, does it not? With regard to this letting go. You see, if we don't deal with the self life and surrender it up, we are always going to protect ourselves. And that stops us from letting go. And we'll know if we're still protecting ourselves, because we'll find in trials or when things happen, we're all the while trying to justify ourselves. Justify our actions, or justify what I said or what I do. And that is a clear indication that we are still protecting self. Are we still more concerned about Christ who is in us, the image of Christ in our lives, in our everyday walk, or am I still more concerned about my own image, how I look, how I come over? How about money? Where is money in your life? Does it still consume you? Does it still worry you? Are you still anxious about it, these anxieties? I use money because worry and anxiety are so connected where money is concerned. And sadly, we're finding so many relationships and marriages come to an end because of money. Anxiety, worry. We know also with money, there is greed. So much of the world is going to be brought down. So much of the world will be judged because of money, because of greed. As the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, many people who quote that wrong, they say money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, does it control me? Do I love it? God knows that we need money. He knows there are bills to be paid. He's very aware of that. He permits and allows it. But the question is, do we love it? Are we covetous over our finances? Has it become my God? Is there greed attached to it? I want more and more and more I get. Remember, of course, that whatever money God blesses us with and we're able to buy, we should also be aware to bless others as well. That is what God wants from us. That is what the abundant life is. That is what the prosperity gospel is about, is whatever God blesses you with, you bless others as well. It's not just for self, me, I. And unless the cross is in your life and my life, that willingness to surrender up that selfish life, that individual life up to God, then money will be your God. You will be covetous. You will always put self first. That is the nature of it. And with it will always come that worry and that anxiety, that vexation of spirit, because that is what is attached to greed. Where the demon of greed is, you will always find other demons attached to it, of worry and anxiety and fear. They all go hand in hand. That's why the world economy is governed by all of that. Have you seen how it works? The moment something fearful comes out on the news, the next thing you know is the stock market affected. Fear has hindered it. Because they're worried, anxious, greed is in operation. But not only that, the love of money will also get you to plan your future. The love of money will not let you walk a walk of faith, trusting God. You will want to be in control and just confess yourself as a Christian. And that is why God asks us to let go. We have to let go of everything and totally trust God. Now, for many Christians, that is a frightening thought. But that is what salvation is in Christ Jesus. The new birth is allowing the life of Christ in us now to live his life in and through us. As we decrease, that he increases. You cannot live a Christian life in this world and the spirit of this age unless you yield over to the one who lives his life now in and through you. He can only live and overcome the spirit of this age, this world, if you allow him to live his life in and through you. You will fail otherwise. You'll just be religious, trying it. That is why the Christian life is not in doing, but being. It is yielding our life up as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to allow the life of God now to live his life in and through you and I. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You cannot love your enemy in your own strength, but the love of God living his love through you can. Everything has to flow from him. Your life, your being, what you say, what you do, where you go, how you live. It's his life living in and through you and I. And what hinders all of that? Our wills. Fear. Unbelief. And that is why letting go is so important. Letting go of our ideas, our thoughts, what we think is. We don't even know the word of God unless the Holy Spirit enlightens us. We don't know what to say unless he gives us the words. We don't even know how to love one another unless we yield our lives over and allow the love of God to embrace each other in Christ. We're hopeless without him. We can't do it. And yet we still try and do these things in our own strength, in our own mind, and in our own intellect. I'll do it my way. And we wonder why we fall flat on our face. We wonder why things are not happening and working in our lives and in our churches as they should. Because we want to be in control. And that, unfortunately, was what Adam and Eve experienced when they disobeyed God. They experienced that they could be in control. And even God had to provide there to cover them from their sin. God didn't want man to know that. He wanted us to completely enjoy him and trust him and know that our life and provision and everything just flows like living water in that unbroken fellowship with Almighty God. What a tragedy happened to man's mind and spirit when he disobeyed God there in the Garden of Eden. But nevertheless, Christ has come, the second Adam, to restore us back now in that unbroken fellowship with Almighty God. But we're addressing, aren't we, these areas of where we're to let go. And we've been looking particularly at money. Money is a huge, huge problem in these last days. We're seeing what greed is doing in the world. Let's turn to something very familiar we know in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know this very well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Well, let's lead up to it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 4. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And here it is, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Who guards your heart and mind? You? No. Christ within you, the Spirit of God, will guard you. He will guard you. That peace of God will guard you to such a point that you don't even understand it. You can't even put it into words. But I know that it's happening. Because the mind, the heart has to be guarded. It's where the enemy attacks us, through the mind. And it has to be guarded. And the only way it can be guarded is when you let go. And trust him. Because anxiety is tormenting. Worry. You know, my stepdad used to say to me years and years ago, he said, you know, it's not hard work that kills anyone. He said, it's anxiety, worry is the killer. He even knew that. And yet people are bound, held in all of this. And what does worry and anxiety open the doors to? Depression and oppression. It's tormenting in nature. People who commit suicide are bound in worry and anxiety and fear. And it's getting worse and worse. But here it is. Here's the good news. He says, in everything, through prayer, supplication, and don't forget the thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Be thankful for what he's doing. This walk shouldn't be a drudge. Let's look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 19, Psalm 94 and verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. The comfort, who is the comfort? The comforter is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that delights our soul, that brings that rest to that mind and heart and spirit. So let go of your money issues. Let go of your love for money, that false security. And you'll know if you've let go in that area, because it's one of the biggest in the Christian life. You'll know. Because then God can start to use you in that area and you can be a blessing to others. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide. But all the while we hold on to it and we're anxious. And it's still our God. It's going to be a big problem. And it will not give you that peace, that joy, that rest. You won't be able to let go. I think if we don't let go in the area of money, you're pretty well certain you will not be letting go in other areas as well. It's the big one. It's the big one. Well, then secondly, am I letting go? Let's look in the area of health. Because health is important. Boy, did I know that yesterday when I woke up about 3 a.m. I got up to go and spend a penny and my head span like a top. I nearly fell over and I realised I was under attack. And when I got back and tried to put my head down, the room was spinning. I've never had, in the natural, it was vertigo, I've never had an attack so violent like that before. And how I wasn't sick and nausea, I just, well, the Lord knows, because I felt so, so sick. And immediately, of course, the enemy becomes very vocal, doesn't he? Well, you've really got it now. This could be brain problem, this could be a tumour. It's all going on in your head. This is a bug or whatever it is. Anyway, I settled it there and then. I said, Father, I look to Calvary. I look to the death of Christ. I look to the risen Christ who bore my sin and my sickness and everything. It was done, finished, there at Calvary. And with that, I turned over and went off to sleep. And I woke in the morning and, of course, yes, it's still there. Felt absolutely rough, awful. And the devil then says, well, you won't be able to have the prayer meeting today, will you? And I thought, well, no, I'm not too good. Maybe it's wise to cancel it after all. This could be a bug or whatever it was. And then I thought, what are you saying? What are you thinking? I have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ doesn't think like that. Doesn't act like that. And I said, no, we are having this prayer meeting today. I knew what the enemy was up to. He didn't want it. Well, praise the Lord. The rest is history. And I'm here this morning, healed in Jesus' name, and preaching this word. How does it happen? I don't know. Was I trying to believe? No, I wasn't. Either faith is there or it isn't. Faith was there, and if faith is there, then faith knows what to do, because it's that what you're believing. You see, you have to go through the trials to know whether faith is present or not. And if it isn't, then you know what to do. And if it is present, it is there, then you act in accordance and you move forward. And do you know what it is? It's letting go. It's letting go of all the circumstances. It's letting go. Well, you see, the enemy said, well, if you have a prayer meeting, you might be taken ill through it. And then what you're going to do? It's not going to look very good, is it? If you've got to leave everyone and go to bed. Oh, yes, the enemy was suggesting all those things. No, you let go. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Just act your faith and walk in accordance to the light and the revelation that you have thus far. That's what this walk is about. And faith will let go in these areas. Now, of course, each of us are all at different levels. And of course, we are to look after ourselves. We're to be sensible. We're to have the right sleep. Eat correctly. Get that certain amount of exercise. All of these things are important. Why do I stress this? Because we're living now in lives and environments not like our parents or their parents lived. I think life in many ways back, although it may be harder, but they had more exercise. They used their bodies much more. Whereas today, we don't. We live in environments that are so different. That's why you've got all these gyms now. We have everything at our disposal. We've got all this technology. All of this stuff is actually making us redundant, acting and being human beings that God created us to be. That's why God has to come and put a stop, an end to all of this. If we want to see what technology is doing, look to China. Because that is a reflection, that is telling us what it's going to be like in the end times, how Antichrist is going to use all of that and that technology. And look at the bondage those people are in. All of this have health issues to them. Why we're hearing now, aren't we, where these big platform providers like Facebook and Twitter and all of that, they want them to hand over now information as to whether this is affecting people or affecting young people. Dear me, this isn't rocket science. Of course it is affecting people. It is affecting young people. Are we that stupid? We can see it, what it's doing, robbing the minds of this last generation. Robbing them of just being normal human beings, how God has created us to be. They're no longer in touch with the world and with nature like we were. They don't understand farms, animals, and what farmers do. They're cut from all of that now. And of course it's going to have psychological and mental effects, and it is. We too have to be on our guard from all of this, spending hours and hours and hours on all these things, our phones and pads and whatever. Very strong demons are behind all this technology, because the Antichrist is going to use it to rule in the last days. And it's happening. Our freedom is slowly going, being eroded. And is this going to have health issues? You can be well assured it is, and it's happening. We know when they take the mark of the beast, those who take this mark, whether it be on their forehead or on their right arm, we know they're going to be health issues attached to them, because they're going to get some awful rash. Something's going to happen to people who take of this. So we see these indications of these diseases and sicknesses that are increasing in the last days, and will, where medical science won't have the cure or answer for them. It's not rocket science. And yet man is so unspiritual now, doesn't know their Bibles, has no recollection of God, blinded to all of this. These professors, these doctors, highly intelligent men and women, and yet they can be so blinded to God, to the love of God. God says he laughs at them. They are foolish. And yet they're so exalted by their brains, by their qualifications, That's why God isn't, he's not impressed by any of it. So we all of us have to be on our guard with regard to health issues. We have to be balanced. We've got to look after ourselves. We have to be sensible. And it's these trials that will tell you where you are in the faith. And sometimes these trials are not nice. They're bad experiences. You feel absolutely awful. Yet that tells you where you are in the faith. Why am I stressing this? Because the powers of darkness have to let go in our whole being. Whatever you are going through, health issues, the powers of darkness have no right. They have to let go of you in Jesus' name. But where is the devil in your life, in the position? Is he in front of you or is he behind you? That's the question. What are you looking to? What are you looking at? Are you fully looking to Jesus or are you looking still to circumstances? Because if you're looking fully to Jesus, the enemy is at your rear, behind you. Because your heart, your life is looking to Calvary, the cross. Why, as I bring this to a conclusion now, why is there such an emphasis on our health? Why has this been a big, big issue in the deeper life? And it's caused such controversy, divisions. Well, it's very simple, because medical science is going to let man down. In the end, medical science, the health system, is almost like a holy grail. It's sacred. And God says he will bring all idols down. And that is why he's delivering us. He's working now on us. With our faith, so that we don't have to trust in the arm of the flesh. So that he provides, he delivers us, he heals us. Now, if you're going through a physical trial, and I know a lot are in FGA, there is a good reason for it. Because it is telling us about where we are with our faith. It's like a thermometer. It's reading our temperature. It's an indicator. The problem is at times our pride gets in the way. Our fear, our unbelief gets in the way. So we cannot fully hear and understand what the Spirit is saying. Because we're not willing to let go. But he doesn't give up on us. He's ever working with us so that we come to that place, so that we don't rely on the arm of the flesh in anything. God wants to touch your life. He wants to reveal himself personally to you. Not always via through someone else. Not even through a testimony. Now, testimonies are important. They encourage, they build us up in the faith. But God wants you to have your own testimony of God's faithfulness and what he has done in your life and how he raised you up. How he healed you, provided for you. That's the question. That is what's powerful, is your testimony, your life, the light in you that affects and speaks to other people. That's what this is about. And this is why, brothers and sisters, you won't always grow in a lot of these other churches, sadly. Because it's all done through the eldership. It's all done through headship. You're just simply a part, a member of that. The deeper life teaching isn't about that. It's about you and I. It's about the body functioning, the body ministering, the body, the people going out, sharing this good news. The world seeing what Christ has done and is doing through you and me. That's what this is all about. And that can only be done and achieved when we're willing to let go of everything that is still a hindrance in our life. And you know what you've not let go. You know there's still areas that you're still unwilling to let go. Because I know that you know, because you have the Holy Spirit. And he is the revealer of all truth. And he is the one that's searching deep, deep down into the crevices of our heart, our mind, our soul, our very being. What a work he's doing, eh? And this is why I go back to the man-child, Revelation 12. The man-child is in the womb, protected at the moment, developing, maturing, until the birth. And that's what's happening to you and I. That's the work in progress. This is what he's doing as he's delivering us. And our deliverance, first and foremost, is and was at the beginning, let my people go. And that's what he's done. When we look back, we have quite a history. When we look back, not only a lot of water has gone under the bridge, but we can see what the mighty hand of God has done and is doing. Yes, there's been times when it's looked so negative, so hopeless, as though the whole thing's falling apart. But you see, faith will not accept that. Faith will not believe Satan's lies, no matter what it looks like, because we walk by faith and not by sight. What does Jeremiah have to say as we close? Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Sure you know this well. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And he talks about bringing the captivity of Israel back. Look what he says here. It's always with the whole heart. If you find me, you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. I will be faithful. I will do it. So in other words, what he's saying is he will be faithful to each of us to be able to walk totally by faith in these last days. And you only know whether you're seeking him with your whole heart or not. You know that question. I don't know that question, but you do. And if it's what you want, then he's going to move heaven and earth in which to accomplish and work that within your life and my life. But one of the things you will know and you will experience, if this is happening, you are beginning to see a letting go. This is one of the signs. God opened my eyes to this about 5 years ago. Whether we're really progressing with the Lord or not, are you letting go? Because he was challenging me with this very thing and still does. Because if we don't let go, we are not going to go up in the rapture. And that's the next great event that is to take place. And we are rapidly moving toward that event. Because if we're still holding on to anything in this world and relying upon it, we won't be ready. That is why the woman that's left has to go into the wilderness to be purged of her unbelief, her hardness of heart. You don't have to go through that. None of us do. He's making that way of escape. And a wise man will listen carefully what the Spirit is saying. And we will allow the Holy Spirit to work that within us. And very often, these areas that still hold us, where we're still not at times, or we're not letting go, very often can be very simple, everyday things found in our lives. Very often they are. And that is why, as I close now, this is why the Lord brought the sword of the Spirit. That sword that comes down and divides. It cuts it asunder. It has to destroy in order to rebuild. And that sword, as you well know, comes down in the very everyday practical things of our life and which is found in our very families. I still think families are still one of the big hindrances that's holding some of us to go on and to let go. Because we're frightened if we let go, we'll be on our own. Or nobody will love me or want me, or they'll turn their back on me or whatever. Oh, the enemy's so vocal. How he can hold us sometimes in the most simplest things. But God's faithful. He loves us. He's not going to let go of us. He's done a work in us thus far. And as the scriptures tell us, he that begun that work will complete and finish it at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a work he started and there's a work he's going to accomplish and he's going to finish. But he will finish it if we're willing to let go. To let go of our ideas, what we think, or we assume, or we rely upon. All of those things have to go. It is a total, complete walk of faith, trusting God each day, every moment. And God will move heaven and earth to work within us that simple, childlike faith. And it's for us if we want it. Well, there we are. We've been talking this morning, haven't we, about letting go. And that's what he wants from us, is to let go of everything and simply trust him. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we still hold on to these things in fear and doubt and unbelief. Forgive us, Father, that We still listen too much to the enemy who suggests these things into our minds. Help us, Lord, to resist. Help us to embrace your word and what you say. And where we are still battling, and where we're still holding onto these things, the things of the world, in fear and unbelief, help us to be willing to let go. Whatever it takes, Lord, remove these obstacles from our lives so that we can experience that peace and joy that passes all understanding, that we can walk 24/7 in that unbroken fellowship with you. That's what we're being restored back to through the second Adam. And Father, we know that we go through various trials and tribulations, and many of them we go through, you allow us to go through in order to show us where we are, where we're standing in faith. Because our trials expose those areas of unbelief. So help us not to shy away from this, to pretend, be in denial. But whatever giants we are facing, Father, in our lives, today or tomorrow or next week, may we hear out of our heart and soul and being, I'm well able to take this giant of the land, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let us confess a good confession, Father. But Lord, you have to put that within our hearts. You're the one that has overcome all things, and therefore we too can overcome. And we know the last thing that we are to overcome as believers, and that is the spirit of this age. As you overcame the spirit of this age, so we too overcome the spirit of this age. And we do this by looking to Calvary, to the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Saviour. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
And I will be found of you. it.